Meg looked not at the man, but at her brother. After a moment, it seemed that his eyes were no longer focusing. The pupils grew smaller and smaller, as though he were looking into an intensely bright light, until they seemed to close entirely, until his eyes were nothing but an opaque blue. He slipped his hands out of Meg's and Calvin's and started walking slowly toward the man on the chair. "No!" Meg screamed. "No!" But Charles Wallace continued his slow walk forward, and she knew that he had not heard her. "No!" she screamed again, and ran after him. With her inefficient flying tackle, she landed on him. She was so much larger than he that he fell sprawling, hitting his head with a sharp crack against the marble floor. She knelt by him, sobbing. After a moment of lying there, as though he had been knocked out by the blow, he opened his eyes, shook his head, and sat up. Slowly the pupils of his eyes dilated until they were back to normal, and the blood came back to his white cheeks. The man on the chair spoke directly into Meg's mind, and now there was a distinct menace to the words. "I am not pleased," he said to her. "I could very easily lose patience with you, and that, for your information, young lady, would not be good for your father. If you have the slightest desire to see your father again, you had better cooperate." Meg reacted, as she sometimes reacted to Mr. Jenkins at school. She scowled down at the ground in sullen fury. "It might help if you gave us something to eat," she complained. "We're all starved. If you're going to be horrible to us, you might as well give us full stomachs first." Again, the thoughts coming at her broke into laughter. "Isn't she the funny girl, though? It's lucky for you that you amuse me, my dear, or I shouldn't be so easy on you. The boys I find not nearly so diverting." "Oh, well, now tell me, young lady, if I feed you, will you stop interfering with me?"
"No," Meg said.
"Starvation does work wonders, of course," the man told her. "I hate to use such primitive methods on you, but of course you realize that you forced them on me."
"I wouldn't eat your old food anyhow." Meg was still all churned up and angry, as though she were in Mr. Jenkins' office. "I wouldn't trust it."
"Of course, our food, being synthetic, is far superior to your messes of beans and bacon and so forth. I assure you that it's far more nourishing. And though it has no taste of its own, a slight conditioning is all that is necessary to give you the illusion that you are eating a roast turkey dinner."
"If I ate now, I'd throw up anyhow," Meg said. Still holding Meg's and Calvin's hands, Charles Wallace stepped forward.
"Okay, what next?" he asked the man in the chair. "We've had enough of these preliminaries. Let's get on with it."
"That's exactly what we were doing," the man said, "until your sister interfered by practically giving you a brain concussion. Shall we try again?"
"No," Meg cried. "No, Charles, please. Let me do it, or Calvin."
"But it is only the little boy whose neurological system is complex enough. If you tried to conduct the necessary neurons, your brain would explode."
"And Charles's wouldn't?"
"I think not."
"But there's a possibility?"
"There's always a possibility."
"Then he mustn't do it."
"I think you will have to grant him the right to make his own decisions."
But Meg, with the dogged tenacity that had so often caused her trouble, continued. "You mean Calvin and I can't know who you really are?"
"Oh, no, I didn't say that. You can't know it in the same way, nor is it as important to me to have you know. Ah, here we are."
From somewhere in the shadows appeared four more men in dark smocks carrying a table. It was covered with a white cloth, like the tables used by room service in hotels, and held a metal hot box containing something that smelled delicious, something that smelled like a turkey dinner.
"There's something phony in the whole setup," Meg thought. "There is something definitely rotten in the state of Kamazots." Again, the thought seemed to break into laughter.
Of course it doesn't really smell, but isn't it as good as though it really did?
I don't smell anything, Charles Wallace said.
I know, young man, and think how much you're missing. This will all taste to you as though you were eating sand. But I suggest that you force it down. I would rather not have your decisions come from the weakness of an empty stomach.